Welcome back, 4 o'clock hour. Josh Bernier takes you away. Royals and Orioles coming up tonight at 6. He gets the on-deck show going at 5 o'clock. Spain wins 2-1, Rob. Their next match is against France on the 14th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Did the goalie change make the difference for Belgium? Would they have still been in it with the thing on the PKs, overtime than PKs?
I think Spain was the better team, but I do think the starting goalkeeper makes that play that led to the goal. But Spain was very deserving today.
So France and Spain advance and will play each other in a coming up on the 14th. The finals are the 19th for the third-place game. No, wait a minute. Third-place game is on the 18th. Okay, so that's the day before. And then the should they even do a third-place game, Rob? Or would you just skip it? I mean, guys are banged up and stuff. You know, a lot of players probably not going to play in that.
It depends on what country you are. Like, some countries take it more seriously than others. Like, I don't know, England will go all in for a third place match, but like, if the United States had gotten there, yes, it's different.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. You get there to the point where you want to win the golden boot. Jack Caglione. So, Vinny. Vinny's back with the Royals. Not in the lineup today, but he is with the team. He'll probably be playing tomorrow and Sunday. Vinny Pasquantino, that hamate bone injury with the hand, it's a fairly common injury with baseball players. It's kind of where the bat hits the palm of the hand. It's a very, but it's four, what did you say, 4 to 6 weeks usually with the hamate bone injury?
That's usually what they say, although there's usually a little delay of quality coming back from having it, but yes.
So is this too fast for Vinny coming back?
I agree with Vern. I think it's the right call to have Vinny come back at this timeline. Like, I think that's correct. I want him back with the team. You know, he's a leader, all those things. Like, you don't want your guy to just be sitting there watching because the season is lost. But I do wonder about his effectiveness coming back this early, because you'll remember he came back from the same injury very speedy in the postseason in 24 and was relatively ineffective. Now, he'll have more time to get back up to speed coming back in July versus October, but he does have a history of coming back from this injury fast, but not per se being great once returning.
And the one thing is, too, when you look at the Royals in the standings, there's only one team with fewer wins in Major League Baseball than the Royals. It's the Angels. With that being said, and that being the big picture, do you rush him back now or just say, all right, we'll just let this thing go till after the All-Star break?
So for me personally, and this is what I want to talk about, I think Vinny Pasquantino is your most coveted trade chip. Now, I don't know the Royals will trade him, but if you're the Royals, you have to get him back sooner rather than later, and you don't want to ease him back and then have him play poorly and then have maybe not a super negative, but a somewhat negative impact on his trade value. So I think this is the best case for the Royals. He comes back, he plays well, you have a tradable asset in the offseason, or you decide to keep him and he'll be coming off a season that he struggled, but will then be healthy heading into 2027. So, like, his
timeline, an off-season type trade.
Off-season type trade. I agree with Vern. They need an off-season trade that's going to hurt. And I think Vinny Pasquantino's injury is return is of note, because he seems like one of those players that could potentially be moved this offseason.
Yeah, and again, speaking of Vinny, Vern, we had this earlier, but Vern did say this on a postgame show.
I laid it out earlier today on the On Deck show. I believe a difficult, painful trade needs to be made. Not at the deadline, though. I think that painful, uncomfortable, anxiety-ridden trade, a la the Will Myers, Jake Odorizzi trade from 13 years ago, one of those trades that when it happens, boy, you're hopeful, but you're also incredibly nervous that it's going to backfire. I think one of those trades needs to go down this offseason.
So, yeah, 100%. Do something that hurts. Makes your team better. Always do something that hurts. So, Keg, you're going to be locked into the Home Run Derby. It's ESPN had it for, 32 years? They don't have it this year. It's on Netflix. And it looks, I mean, they got the stars. They got the stars, bigger home run hitters in the game of baseball. Not all of them, but most of them are, you know, this is a nice field, let's put it that way. A very nice field for Home Run Derby.
I mean, it's left-hand power galore in this Home Run Derby between Harper, Schwarber, Kags. I'll be locked in. I mean, it's something to watch. I'm intrigued to see how many people watch it on Netflix. I'm not looking forward to Tuesday on the text line when people send me they couldn't watch it because it's on Netflix, despite the fact it's very available, but whatever. I like that Major League Baseball is trying something different, and Netflix is going to make it more of a spectacle. So I will be watching, but I'm mostly curious how everything goes, and I'll be cheering for Cags, but you know, there's a lot of other stuff I'll be watching with that.
Well, Junior Caminero is going to be fun to watch. It's going to be an interesting watch. I think that's kind of a dark horse. I haven't seen the odds. You seen the odds on this?
I don't think they're out until the whole whole field's out.
But yeah. Junior Caminero would be certainly somebody. Ben Rice is in it. Jack's in it. Wilson Contreras, Jordan Walker, Bryce Harper, and now Kyle Schwarber. But keep this in mind, it's in Philadelphia. And I was there that night when Frazier won it in Cincinnati. That home crowd, man, they get behind you, and they give you that enthusiasm. And remember, with the Home Run Derby this year, there's no outs. So you get 20 swings, and that's it. In the first round, all eight participants take 20 swings. Four players with the most home runs advance to the semifinals. In the semifinals, the advancing four players are seeded and compete in head-to-head matchups. So they'll be head-to-head at this point. Not the first round. Semifinals, you become head-to-head. Hitters will get 15 swings each. And a round, I like this part, a round cannot end on a successful home run. If a player hits a home run or final swing, the 20th or the 15th, depending on the round, they're awarded extra swings and continue until a swing does not result in a home run. See, I like that part, Robbie. You hit that home run there at the end, and everything changes because you don't have to worry about that clock. You don't have to worry about speeding it. You're pitching it, and worry about speeding it in. You keep hitting home runs until you're done. How many guys are we going to see at the very end, like hit that last one and go on a run with four or five?
Why do they keep tinkering with the rules? Maybe this is just like old man yells at cloud take by me. When I was a kid, it was the 10 outs. I thought it was a good system. Or even the year that Salvador Perez took on Pete Alonso. I thought it was a good system. They over tinker with this thing to the point where you have to have a rule book in front of you to know what's going on.
Yeah, no outs. So the pitch has got to be good. They got to swing at it. So if it's a crap pitch, they got to swing at it because, hey, there's no outs. Home run or no outs. The tie breaks in the first round are broken by the longest home run distance. The semifinals and finals, the head-to-head ties are decided by a three swing off. So they get three swings until a winner is determined. Jack's longest home run this year is 444. He's tied for the longest distance at 418 with hitters as far as what Jack's done. So 418 on an average distance of his home runs. You have that minimum of 10 home runs. He's done that. Talking about a guy that has the Florida record with 35 home runs in the season, once hit nine home runs in nine consecutive games at Florida. And I don't see how in the hell that was on almost a 500-foot shot he hit in Tampa. Do you remember the homer I'm talking about?
The one that basically, I thought it was still flying.
I mean, that home run that he hit in Tampa hit the D-ring? They called it the D-ring because they got all that crap in the outfield there at Tampa. But he crushed that baseball. I don't see how in the hell that wasn't as long as home run ever.
By the way, speaking of Jack Caglione and the Home Run Derby Bank, you can head over to 95thefan.com right now to enter the Jacks contest. If you can predict how far the furthest home run Cags will hit is without going over Price is Right rules. So, for example, if you head over to 95thefan.com, click the thing and put in your prediction of 490 feet, but his longest home run goes 49, you lose. You're disqualified. But head over for then because you have a chance to win 2 4-packs of tickets to two separate Royals games in the future on a mutually agreed upon date. So if you want some Royals tickets, head over to 95thefan.com, click on the Jacks contest, and guess how far the furthest home run Caglione will hit on Monday night is, and you have a chance to win.
And you would say what? I know you're not eligible to win.
501.
501?
It's hot.
I'm going to go 500. I'm going to go 502.
You also got to be smart here. You can't go too high. You can't like 575. You're too high, you lose.
You lose.
You can't. So lower is better. So if you're thinking like, oh, I think he's going to hit one 507, play it smart. Bet something like 505 and you stay in the fight.
Now I know that 444 is as long as measured during StatCast during season. But again, these are going to be meatballs exactly where he wants them.
Junior out with the sore knee. And now Caglione. Wow. Where will that land? How about in the catwalk? That is a Caglione jack. He almost hit it out of the stadium.